pay me enough to yell, then I go in the house.
Tim, are they picking on you?
Yeah, I guess.
You know there's room for more than one.
I'm used to it.
Oh, that's good.
Tune her out.
All of his report cards have checks where it says it does not work and play well without. Did you guys get those report cards?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Okay, we're in the book of Colossians. It's you only had 6 verses to study, so you should have done well this time. And the name of your lesson is Live in the Light of the Gospel. So, what did you learn?
Stay focused.
Stay focused, sir. Very good. Stay focused. Anybody else?
God has given every believer his own. We're supposed to reach out to people, but treat them the way first and do all that is in the will of God.
Very good. That's right.
You know, Paul was in prison at this time when he wrote this, and he wanted people to pray that God would open up doors and opportunities for him to witness to people.
Yeah, we probably don't do that a lot. Because we don't want any more opportunities than we already think we have. But yes, that's one of the things that we should do. So we learn as believers, and we learn from this scripture, we learn from studying the Word of God, that every moment in our life in Christ has a what? A purpose. Okay? Every moment. And in order to see that purpose, then we have to be aligned with God's will. So that means everything that we say, everything that we do, must be according to God's will. So we begin to understand this. The more that we seek after God's wisdom, more that we seek after His knowledge and understanding, then we're going to learn the direction that He wants us to go in as we go through circumstances, situations, trials, tribulations, all of these things that we're going through in our life. We're going to learn the direction that God is trying to get us to go as we're going through those things in our life. So all the while that we're going through those things, then we're to have what? We're to have joy in our heart. We're supposed to be joyful. We're supposed to be acknowledging that it's good for us. God, we're going through these things because it's good for us, because it is an exercise of our faith. And not only is it an exercise of our faith, but it's also going to help us to learn to trust in the commandments and the promises of His Word. So if this lesson is leading into next week's lesson. I don't know if y'all have looked at it yet, but it's in Proverbs, and it takes in a lot of chapter 3, which talks about what?
Yeah.
Tell us, Roger. That's right. So we're going to work into that. But when we begin to look at the opportunities, when we begin to look at everything in our life as opportunities, then when we begin to look at these opportunities as a chance for us to grow and mature in our faith, it is then that you'll begin to have a positive impact on the world around you. And that positive impact is the example of our salvation that God wants us to allow people to see. So the only way that we can do that is, you talked about focus. What is it that we have to focus on? We have to focus on the truth of God's Word, but not just focus upon the truth of God's Word, but we've got to focus on being obedient to the truth of God's Word. See, that's two different things. A lot of people know what the truth of God's Word says. A lot of people are not obedient to the truth of God's Word. So that's one of the things that we have to focus on in our life here upon this earth, because it is God that allows us to live with a purpose, with the purpose that we have, and He does this so that we might enjoy a deeper relationship, a deeper sense of connection with Him in our life. The stronger our relationship is in the Lord, the greater our life in Christ will be here upon this earth. Do you understand that? So that's what our life in Christ is all about. So in Matthew, and we'll get to Colossians in a minute. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. Let's go back there and read this verse. It's a very familiar verse. We don't pay attention to it too often. But Christ Himself, when He was teaching His disciples, or we'll read 33 first. He said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." Okay, first and foremost on our mind every day, seeking first the kingdom of God. And then He said, God will add everything else. Anything else, everything else that He wants in your life, He'll bring that into your life. And He says, the only way that we'll be able to do this, He says, is first, you've got to take no thought for what? Tomorrow. Though, and tomorrow meaning the rest of the day, tonight, tomorrow. So when He says take no thought, He means quit worrying about the things that are going to happen in our life. So He says, take no thought for tomorrow. He says, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. And He said, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So there's always going to be things in our life that is going to take place in our life that, first of all, we're not going to like. We're not going to enjoy. And then there's also going to be things that take place in our life that aren't going to be pleasing unto God. Because when we worry, then we're going in a path of a sinful direction that God does not want us to go. So that's why He tells us, don't quit worrying about those things. Quit thinking about those things. So in order to make the most of every opportunity that God provides for us in our life, then the worrying and the concern that we have for everything that's going on, that stuff, that's got to go away. And it's easier said than done, right? Everybody with me on that? It's easier said than done. But that stuff's got to go away so that we can enjoy the future that we have in the Lord. So, is every day of your life going to bring some kind of challenge? Sure it is. And every day in our life that brings a challenge, we look at it as something that's unique. Because it's happening to us. When it was happening to somebody else, oh, that wasn't so bad. But when it happens to us, it's unique. But what we have to remember is all of these things God has allowed in our life. Now, they might have came from choices that we made that were bad choices, but God still allowed it to take place in our life because He wanted to use it for an opportunity for us to learn, to encourage us to follow after the provisions that He gives for us through His Word, so that we're not consumed by the anxieties in our life that come about because of worldly fear. So it's our worldly emotion of fear, and you've heard me say this many, many times, it's our worldly emotion of fear is what brings about the worry, the anxiety, the anger, everything else in our life. That is what puts the greatest stress upon our relationship with God, because now we're worrying about everything around us because of this worldly emotion of fear. So we've got to learn that it's the Holy Spirit that indwells within us, which we forget that we have all the time. How do you forget something that is indwelling within you? How do we do that? We do it all the time, though, right? Sure, we do it all the time. But it's that Holy Spirit that indwells within us, that's what's trying to keep us focused. Especially through all these challenges that come about in our life every day. So the Holy Spirit wants us to be productive in those things that are spiritual in our life. We're mostly productive within our worldly emotions. That's what we're productive in. The Holy Spirit wants us to be productive in the things that are spiritual in our life. So, and He wants us to see that worldly fear, worry, anxiety, anger, all of these worldly emotions, they don't fix anything in our life. All they do is control things that are happening that we don't want them to control, but we allow to do it anyhow. And it begins, when this begins to happen in our life, now we think that all these blessings and promises and commandments and all these things that God has given us, now we think that they're way out of reach. But they're never out of reach, because they're where? David said, "Thy word hath I hid in my heart, that what? I might not sin against me." So it's never out of reach. So when we're commanded by the Word of God to put our trust in God every moment of every day. And when we do this, then He will provide for us that is needed every day of our life. Okay, so Colossians chapter 2. We're going to take these a couple of verses at a time. We may not make it through them, but Colossians chapter 4. Did I say 2? Colossians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Here's what He says. "Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven." And the only way that we can do this is, He said, "Continue in prayer, watch in the same with thanksgiving." What's He talking about here? Sure.
And to stay alert and be aware of what God wants you to pray for, the specific.
Okay. And it has a lot to do with more than just what? Ourselves. Everything that we do in life affects somebody else. How many of you can attest to that? Everything that we do in life affects somebody else. So when He says continue in prayer, that's almost like the verse that says pray without ceasing. What's He talking about?
Continue. Pray right on.
Where?
Have a prayerful mind.
Huh?
Have a prayerful mind.
Yes, because we know, because people say, "Well, I just can't pray all the time. I run my car off the road," or, "Well, you do that enough without praying." So,
yeah, Dad explained that last week to me, and I never thought about that.
What's that?
See if I get this right. The Holy Spirit just keeps your mind just going. It goes so fast you don't have time to pray for everything. Something hits you and you stop praying for that right then.
Yes.
But you're actually praying the whole time.
Right. So that's what it that's what it means when it says continue in prayer. Pray without ceasing. All these things that we talk about. If the Holy Spirit is, and He tells us in Hebrews to bring our thoughts, I think we read this in Bible study Thursday evening, to bring our thoughts into subjection or under the subjection of the Holy Spirit. And this is what this means, or this is what this is all about. If the Holy Spirit is always controlling our mind, then we'll learn to surrender the complete control of our life unto God. So this, if the Holy Spirit's controlling our mind, then we're not allowing Satan to control it with worldly fear and worry. So we learn to allow the Holy Spirit to control those things that God wants us in our life. So we're relying more now upon God's understanding, which comes from the truth of God's Word. So the more we begin to rely upon those things, then the more we're going to begin to acknowledge that we are allowing Him to control those things that are going on in our life. So what is this need for this acknowledgement? You know, everybody, doesn't matter if you're saved or unsaved, everybody has a need for some kind of an acknowledgement in their life. Everybody wants approval for something. Everybody wants a pat on the back for something. Everybody, but the Bible encourages us or tells us we look for those things from God, not from man. So we look for those things from God. So now we're beginning to understand what this is all about. Our knowledge, our human knowledge, has many limitations. So when we rely upon our own knowledge, we are limiting ourselves to the understanding that God wants us to have. So we're not seeing the importance of why should I include God in everything in my life. Well, now, as a believer, you might say, and I might say, I do include God in everything in my life. But I don't. You don't, and I don't, because there's many things that we do that we didn't go to the Lord and talk to Him about. So anything that we don't include God in, now we are limiting ourselves in what we can do. The purpose that God has behind whatever it is we're doing in our life. So that means that every task, every decision, it doesn't matter what it is that's going on in our life, we have to recognize God. And we have to recognize Him as being the one, the only one that can do whatever it is we're doing in our life. It can only be done thoroughly through God. It cannot, we do not get that through man. So if you want it to be thorough, if you want it to be complete, you cannot do it on your own. I cannot do it on my own, because in some way I limit myself to that. And we've heard ourselves say this all the time. Well, I know God wants me to do it, but I just can't today. I don't have the knowledge. I don't have this. I don't have that. See, we're limiting our... If God has already given the opportunity, God has already given the ability. The only reason that we're not doing it is because we have limited ourselves through our own reasoning.
There are two words right here in that verse, just and equal.
Yeah. So, so everything that we do, we have to be totally dependent upon God. We can only be totally dependent upon God when we get away from worldly pride and live in the humility that God has given unto us. And when we do this, then God will begin to give us not just confidence, but He'll begin to give us the assurance that He is leading us and guiding us through the Holy Spirit. And it will always be it. You never have to guess if you're going in the right direction or not if you're allowing the Holy Spirit to guide you. You'll always know you're going in the right direction. If there's some kind of a question, then you stop and you do what?
Pray.
Ask. That's right. Ask God. What's it say? Continue in prayer. We stop and we continue in prayer. And God will always either reassure us that we're going in the right direction, or He'll say, no, you're going in the wrong direction. But we want to make sure that we're always, our ultimate goal is to follow after His purpose, His plan, His will for our life.
Once we open our eyes up and understand what God's trying to...
That's right.
Yeah.
So, this relationship that we have, did anybody look up the definition of what a relationship is? Doesn't matter whether it's with God or with one another, because our relationships within the body of Christ should all be the same. If I say I love God, then the Bible says I should say I love everybody else as well in the body of Christ. We can all say we love God, but we all can't say we love everybody else in the body of Christ. So a relationship, if you look up the definition of a relationship, it's a meaningful connection between individuals. So And this meaningful connection should bring about, and pay attention to this, this was all part of the definition. This meaningful connection should bring about or should be characterized by a sense of purpose and moral value that we have within the body of Christ, that we have for one another. So if we can't say that, or if we don't feel that, then we're not in a relationship that God wants us to be in. Because it should be meaningful, it should have purpose, and it should have spiritual, moral value. So that means that we have this desire for each one. We want to see each other grow spiritually in our life. We want to see each other gain understanding from God. We want to be, and we want others to be, the best version of themselves that they can be in the Lord. Not in ourselves, but in the Lord. Because eventually, even though we are now, eventually all of our accountability will go where? Before God. So, you know, I've heard people, well, I've got to do my best because the preacher's counting on me to... That means nothing. Your accountability is going to be to God. Because I can tell you that anybody else around you will let stuff slide that God will not let slide. That's why we pick and choose, I think, sometimes who we look to for purpose and for moral values. I'll go here because what's the old saying is, the kid goes to one parent first, and if he don't like what that one says, he goes to the next because he knows he's going to get a different. So we learn that because our accountability is to God, because the righteousness that we have, God gave us, and it came at a very high price, and that price was the life of His Son. So that's why our accountability is unto God. So that means that we're to have all these same characteristics. We're supposed to have moral obligation. We're supposed to demonstrate what the gospel of the saving grace of Jesus Christ is all about. We're supposed to have the same love, the same compassion, the same mercy, the same grace. All of these things that were demonstrated and given unto us, we now demonstrate and give unto others. So that's when he's talking about this equality, being just and equal, continuing in prayer and all through thanksgiving. So that means that the perspective now that we have in our life is we are to remain spiritually alert in our life. And when I say remain spiritually alert, now we're not just seeing physical needs that people have, but we're understanding when they're crying out with spiritual needs. So God, this is all part of continuing in prayer. You know, people will say, "Well, so and so they had a spiritual need, and I helped them fix it." Now you didn't help them do nothing because you or I cannot fix. Now, if you prayed about it, God might have led you in a direction to show them a Bible verse, to do this or to do that, to help them see the direction that they needed to go in. But we ourselves, we have to acknowledge God. We can't fix anything on our own. So in order to do this, then we have to remain at this height of alertness in our life in Christ, always ready to do whatever it is that God has for us to do. So this all comes from the hope that He has instilled within us through our salvation. The hope of our eternal life with Him. And this is where this comes from in our life.
What did Jesus tell Peter, when he went up to pray, he said, stay awake.
Yep.
Stay alert. Stay, don't let the world interrupt.
And they all did what?
They all fell asleep.
They all fell asleep. So in back in Matthew again, in chapter 7, I'll just read you this verse real quick. You don't have to turn to it. But in chapter 7, verse 12, he says, Therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do even so to them.
I like Romans 13:9.
Okay, read it.
Oh, wow. You want me to find it? I just put... Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
Oh, yeah.
I was going
to
say,
you'll be
finding out.
That's
only part of the verse.
Well, that's what we talked about a little earlier. You love your neighbor. Yeah, you have to love him, but you don't have to agree with what he does.
So our relationship with God is reflected in how that we treat, trust, things that we do with others, especially with others within the family of God. If you cannot treat your brothers and sisters in Christ with spiritual moral value, how are you going to treat anybody else that way? So we practice on one another. We get it wrong a lot, but we... Okay, let's go to a couple more verses. So in verse 3 and 4, here's what he says. With all praying also for us, that God would what? Open us a door. Alright? So we're praying now. Hopefully we're praying now. That God's going to bring opportunity into our... Most of us probably pray, oh Lord, please no opportunities today. I had enough yesterday to last me the rest of the week. So he said that God would open unto us a door of utterance that we might speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. So what we know a little bit about what he's talking about. What else is he talking about here?
To spread his word.
Sure. So we pray for opportunities to proclaim what? This mystery. What is this mystery? And why is it a mystery? Why is it referred to sometimes as a mystery?
I wrote down the mystery, the message. You know, okay. Is it completely?
I call it a roadmap.
Grace was a mystery. Paul was given the ministry to preach grace to Jews and Gentiles of all.
Yes.
Yeah.
The reason I call it a mystery, I mean the roadmap.
So it, as you said, it started out as a mystery in the Old Testament under the law. Things that were not yet or revealed or previously revealed that were revealed when Christ himself came and then identified himself and the relationship that was going to come about through the crucifixion and the resurrection. And a lot, even the mystery still holds true today. I listened to some online teachings this week, and they were debating about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And you should hear some of those debates that go on over, because most people say there's not three. And so, see, all of this stuff, this is Christ has always existed, but not everybody believes that. Okay, but he has always existed, and at God's timing, then Christ came to the earth to what? He said, "I came to fulfill the law." Okay, that was at God's timing. So, and when this happened, then this mystery was manifested to all of mankind. But there's always a but. But when you study, as you study and you read in the New Testament, God still does not reveal all of this mystery to everybody, because he knows that for some, they only want to be revealed the mystery so they can use it for their own personal gain. So God still does not reveal unto everybody the completeness of this mystery. So he said, we're to pray now, we're to pray for opportunity to proclaim the mystery, and we're going to proclaim whatever part it is that God allows us to understand. So for some people, God allows to understand way more than other people. So, and we see this when we listen to Bible teachings and Bible scholars, and we sit around and say, boy, we hope we get to know that much the more we study and the more we pray. But these opportunities, is God reveals them so that people might be able to spread the knowledge. God ultimately wants everybody to have a relationship with Him, but He also knows that not everybody is going to choose to have a relationship with Him.
I suppose those that doesn't believe Christ even...
There is people that still, yes, that do that, yes. So in Ephesians, and hopefully you've read this, because we've been studying the church of Ephesus now for ever in Bible study. In Ephesians chapter 3, I'm going to read you verses 2 through 6. Chapter 3, verses 2 through 6. And here's what he said. If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me to give to you, that's what he said, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. And so Paul was preaching or teaching the understanding that God gave him of about what he wanted him to do. He says, as I wrote afore in few words, he said, whereby when you read, that you might understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. You might, so here's where, and I say this all the time, and everybody that teaches or preaches or whatever should say this all the time, that Paul said, I prayed for purpose, I prayed for opportunity, I prayed for understanding. God gave me understanding through the things that were going on in my life. And he said, this is the knowledge of the mystery that I'm sharing with you. Okay? Now, you pray for understanding, you pray for opportunity, you pray, and God is going to give you understanding, but it's going to be according to the things that are going on in what? In your life. Then we share. We share this with one another. So now we're all getting a greater understanding of what this is all about. So he said, the mystery as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read, that you might understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. What God gave me, what God gave me understanding of the things that are going on or happening in my life, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, but it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So this all came about as Christ, or as Paul, because there was still a lot of tension between the Jewish people and the Gentile people at this time as well. So Paul's trying to explain this opportunity that we're all now, we were all born into the same inheritance that we got from Adam, but through Christ, through the crucifixion, through the shed blood of Christ, now we all have the opportunity to have the same inheritance, the same spiritual blessings, the same promises that come through salvation that is portrayed to us through Christ. So this is privilege that is given unto us. Paul said this privilege, it's way beyond our understanding. So I'm going to give you understanding through the situations, through the circumstances, through the trials, through the tribulations that are going on in your life. This is how you're going to understand this. And as you understand this, then you share this with others. Somebody else may be going through the same thing. What you share may help somebody else look towards God for their understanding as well. And all of this truth is contained within the promises and the commandments of God's Word. So it God's Word makes it, even though we read and say, oh, we'll never get this or we'll never understand it, God's Word makes it plain. God's Word makes it simple. God's Word makes it understandable if we are willing to receive what it is that God wants us to hear. So now we have this sense of responsibility of learning, of understanding, this encouragement, and now we can take this and share it with those around us, because now we begin to understand what our divine calling is all about in this life. All right, let's hurry up. We ain't gonna make it. So he says, walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. So salt does what? Huh?
Flavors.
Preserves. I heard somebody else say preserves.
Flavors.
So, so everything that we do should reflect God's wisdom, God's knowledge, God's understanding. I say reflect because we don't fully understand God's wisdom, God's knowledge, understanding, but we can reflect what we do understand, what God has showed us in our life. And this gives us opportunity to share the gospel. So it's not always about what you can say, all right? But it is always about how we live our life as an example to others. That it is all about that. Because the way we live our life unto others, we want that example to draw people closer to God, not shove them away or turn them away. So our work, what we are to do is to preserve, this is what salt, one of the things salt does, we're to preserve that message of Christ. Because every time that we allow that message to go forth, whether it's through word or by example, we want it to be effective. And we want it to affect as many people as possible, but we want it to affect them in a way that they see what the light of salvation is truly all about. We want it to be uplifting. We want it to be helpful. We want it to add value to the lives of those around us. So that means everything that through word in our heart, through our actions, everything that we do then, we're not trying to be this great light in the world. We're trying to honor and glorify God. That's the light. Okay? We all think we have to have this great light. We gotta go out and let it shine and we're like people that put out flashlights. My light's brighter than your light. And I'm gonna do whatever it, that's not what it's all about. It's all about what our reaction in glorifying God that communicates a positive truth to others. So we that's why the name of your lesson, what was it again? He says we live in the light of the gospel. So our light of the gospel is how we glorify God. That is the light that shines forth that people can see. Okay, anybody else? So next week, I like next week's lesson too. It's in Proverbs, so study it. And we're going to talk about what we're leading up to this week. We're going to talk about putting our whole and complete trust in the Lord. What it, it's the name of it has something to do. Yeah, trust in the Lord.
It's one of them
just throwaways.
Oh my gosh.
It's just an LED light. They're only like a few dollars. But they normally last forever.
But
it's probably not the light. It's probably the switch is going on.
Because them lights usually...
If you find a text for me, read it.
See, the light, the wind is on the back side.
Oh.
See, now I have a mind, the wind is shining on mine. And I think it's a
Yeah, I mean, or you can just say this. Yeah, however you want to.
That's what I thought.
Good morning.
I know, he is so young.
It's a good thing I don't get discouraged easy.
Back up about 3 feet tall.
He can't hear. So I thought you were like getting really happy, but I think a gnat was after you, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because you were like...
Yeah, it was a gnat flying around. But if you want to say it was happiness, that's fine.
I know, I just seen it. It is flying.
Yeah, now it's going to bother you. That's what you get for... Be mean to me.
I just wanted to read you guys something that Cheryl wrote from over at Big Isaac Thursday night.
For your mic up.
She said, I don't know how to explain her. Who did she sit beside the other night? Do you guys remember?
Cheryl? Judy and Mimi.
Oh, the new woman.
Yeah.
She was just new. She wasn't new.
I hadn't seen her.
Right. So. But this is what she wrote, which is like, you know, kind of went along a little bit with the lesson. You never know when really the way you're living is a testimony for other people. So it says, she said, I was so touched at Bible study Thursday. It was a true blessing that I was able to make it. And for me to listen to Pastor Tim and his dad and sister was, wow, it had me starting in the very beginning of my Bible and starting to read it from start to finish. I want to learn the word like they do, and I want to walk the walk and be able to talk the talk like they do. So, you know, I wish I knew half of what you guys knew. But, yeah, so, you know, you never know who's watching you or, you know. You just don't know.
So, you notice she didn't say she wanted to know half of what I knew. That's because the half that I know comes from her.
I'll ask him a question, and I'm like, never mind, I'll just ask for Dad.
Okay, let's have a song.
No, 308. Sounds like a gun. B-flat.
Did you say B-flat?
B-flat.
B-flat.
Yeah. Stand up for Jesus, we soldiers of love. Thank you.
Okay, do we have any prayer requests this morning?
Yeah, keep me and my family.
We got a call this morning about 7 o'clock. My daughter, Lisa's in the hospital. She had kidney out, flushed out. She got a drain tube in. She didn't have her hearing aid in. She couldn't already understand it.
Keep the Romans family in prayer.
I told Alicia, I guess months and months ago, she was walking down the hall with Alicia and she just couldn't talk. She fell. They found out she had a brain aneurysm.
Oh.
And all the girls at the hospital are going to take turns.
Okay. Amen.
Remember me and Ruby.
Okay.
Remember Jane and...
Quarantine.
Yeah, quarantine. And Emily will keep that in prayer and remember... Ed and Teresa and Jean and Cheryl.
Okay. Remember the doctors and nurses all over. I mean, it's...
Any others?
Just all the people around churches.
Nancy says she's going to put me in a home.
Well, then you live with your mom.
Oh, my. She says you can't give him back.
No returns.
Let's remember school. Some are starting, I think, next week. Some are starting a week after. So let's remember all the young people going back to school and, of course, playing sports. And Jim said the communities around, there's still a lot of small churches struggling, and we certainly want to pray for them. I think the small churches are keeping this country going, and so let's keep them all in prayer. And we want to thank the Lord. It's been beautiful. The weather's been beautiful, so let's just make sure we thank the Lord for everything. Okay, Roger, you want to lead us in prayer?
We thank you, Lord God, for the moment you give us. Thank you for our lives and our health. Thank you for so many blessings, Lord God, you send our way, and we know that you will reach in every one of us, and we're equal in your eyes, and we just love and thank you and praise you, Lord God. Keep us in the palm of your hand. I pray, Heavenly Father, you guide us, mold and hold our hearts and our minds, Lord God, that according to your word, that we always acknowledge you, Lord God, as our Savior, and you're the one that gives us our strength and our wisdom and knowledge and understanding. We're so thankful, Lord God, for this moment and every moment of my life. Each and every one standing here today, Lord God, and I pray you touch them in a way, Lord God, that they'll understand that there is a God, and He's a loving God. We just thank the word we need for the moment, Lord God, that will help us draw closer to you. We just love and thank you and praise you, Lord God, for all you've done, what you're going to do for us. In Jesus' name, I thank you and praise you.
Amen.
Look at 117. Hang on one second. I haven't done this for like 5 years.
I'll tell you, I don't know if anyone who Sherry Romans is, but it's Ken Bobkin, that's an assistant manager out there at Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
That Ken Bobkin, that's her sister.
Oh. Huh.
The one that asked for that.
Mm-hmm.
Page 117. Maybe.
117.
It's
been years since I think.
Let's see. You guys know it? Oh, you didn't know that song?
It's pretty. Oh, it's pretty. Yeah, I've heard it all.
I'm sure it'll be prettier if somebody.
Sometimes we have to get in, we have to be in here.